Kyle, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. How were they?
They were very uneventful. Whitney and I just chilled, made some food, kicked it, FaceTimed some family.
Nice. I saw you guys posted up in your apartment drinking champagne. It looked like a good time.
Yeah, we were heavily posted. You saw me shooting time lapses and stuff. I mean, what else were we going to do? It was one of the first full days I didn't leave the apartment.
Wow.
I usually get stir crazy and need to go out. But I was like, you know what? For Christmas, let's stay in.
That's dedication.
Yeah. What did you do?
I stayed in my apartment for much of the day, but I FaceTimed family in the morning and FaceTimed a couple other people. And then I spent a few hours in the afternoon just hanging out at the park close to the beach with a coworker of mine who also stayed in town for the holidays. So it was good.
Dude, I'm getting really psyched. We've fully booked our Airbnb in LA. We're literally, you wouldn't believe this, but we found a spot that is 4 houses away from where we used to live.
Dang.
So we're going to be back in the hood.
Back in your old haunts, dude. I'm psyched. It's the Walker and Whitney winter vacation to LA.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's going to be fun to get back in the, do I call it a director's chair? I'm kind of just the filmer bitch, really, is what I am when we do these things.
No, you're much more than that, dude. You are the director.
No, you're the director you're the writer and director. You know, you're facilitating all the exercises. I'm just filming.
I would say I'm the writer / creator. I don't know the different terms in the movie business, but I think of myself as that, and then you like help execute stuff that we have envisioned. So yeah,
it's gonna be sick though. I mean, I can't, like, a whole new batch of programs, dude. It's gonna be sick.
Let's be more clear in why you're coming out to LA in a couple weeks. I mean it is a vacation, but we're also gonna shoot our next batch of videos, right?
Yeah, no, that's the primary goal.
Yeah, so it can be, your vacation can be a write-off, right? A tax write-off.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I'm psyched. I'm looking forward to it.
It's gonna be good. But yeah, otherwise, starting to skate around. It is cold. Yesterday was 28 degree high.
Dang.
Skating. It was gnarly. It's hard to keep your toes warm and your sanity.
Wow, that didn't stop you from boosting a switch tray flip over a trash can. I can't believe you're able to skate that well in that weather.
Trying to keep it going. Although I am 0 for 5 with getting real clips. I can get Instagram clips, but like when Matt busts out the real camera to try to film me for this next new old friends video we're working on, I crumble. So it's been kind of a rough go, but you know, I'm trying to remind myself that I basically didn't film like all year, posted up on the vineyard skating, but you know, the streets are a different ball game.
Yeah, especially New York City in the winter. And you know, don't be too hard on yourself. You haven't skated much for the last few months.
I know that's what I struggle to remind myself with, because you get in those, you know me, I get in my funks battling.
Baby steps, Walker. Baby steps.
But speaking of winter champions, dude, who do we have on the podcast today?
We got Dave Hebert, one of my favorites.
The Vermartian, dude. Vermonster. I should say, like, I thought I tried to throw in all these like quirky little Vermont references, but we weren't even recording the freaking audio. I like blew it when we started recording the podcast. Which is a little embarrassing.
We still got a bunch of good topics that we hit on. I had a lot of fun with this conversation. This is a good one.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know Hebert, Dave Hebert is one of my favorites. He had a part in my favorite part in the Old Friends video, just because he'd been kind of on a booze program and had been claiming a part for a while, but literally sobered up and filmed that part in like 2 months.
Oh.
And just fucking killed it. Like, I that part made me so happy to edit and put together, because I've known him forever. So I met Hebert in San Diego. Well, it was actually LA, like a Damn Am contest that we met, but he became a San Diego fixture in our crew. Mm-hmm. And like in the shuffle days, remember he had a part in the shuffle video that was also excellent.
Amazing. Yep. Yeah, that's when I met him, during the shuffle days.
Yeah, but he's just a true original, and he's like one of the I think he has one of the biggest hearts of any skater I've ever met. Like, he's just a sweetheart. Like, he's so happy to bomb hills, get clips, like, driven beyond any skater I've ever met. And he's just, I don't know, he's just been a great friend over the years. And I'm just really happy with where he's at right now. You know, he's pro for Scumco. He's out in Vermont right now, but he still lives in San Francisco, and he's just had a wild ride with injuries. Let's just say that.
He has, and that's what we get into in the podcast. But looking to the future, he also has a big video part coming out, right?
Yeah, he has a Thrasher part I think it's pretty much all SF. There's probably some greater Bay Area footage in there, but I haven't seen it. I've been on some sessions, but it's going to be good.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to drop.
He's also got a little IGTV video part I'm putting together of all his Vermont clips, which is going to be sick.
Oh, nice.
Just like all his iPhone stuff.
Are you going to do that in conjunction with the podcast release?
Yeah. So I'm going to edit that and put that out around the same time.
Yeah, A-Bear's the man. He's a great skater. He's killing it right now. And I had never heard any of these stories. You were kind of familiar with some of these injury stories. And you told me, like, hey, be ready for some amazing storytelling. Like, A-Bear tells these stories so good. And, you know, I was like, yeah, of course, I love A-Bear. I'm sure they're fine. But, you know, I hear stories about injuries all the time. Like, I feel like I've heard everything.
It's literally your livelihood.
But dude, these stories were so crazy. I just couldn't believe, like, he survived some of these injuries and he can still skate at a high level today. So
he can still rip. I think he's ripping harder now than he almost ever has.
Like, I agree.
His Novia part proved it. His next part is gonna prove it even further.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said before we recorded, this is a heel bruise story you're gonna remember, and it is fucking gnarly. And it's not for the faint of heart. If you are weird or squeamish with some pretty brutal injuries, you know, you might
descriptions wanna, of injuries. Yeah, just
you might want to, you know, be aware.
Have that mute button ready.
Yeah, yeah. But Aver's the best. I'm so psyched for where he's at, and he's one of those testaments of what the human body can endure. Yep. And still bounce back with PT in mind too. Like, I didn't realize he took that shit so seriously when he was.
I was just gonna say, like, he had some really pretty heavy duty injuries, but he also put in the work to come back from some of these injuries that you'll hear about in the podcast. So props to Dave.
Yeah,
love you, dude.
Yep.
All right, let's get to it.
You see it recording?
Oh yeah,
I see it.
Yep.
Did it just come on?
It just on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Shit. We weren't recording there, so fuck it. Dave, I'm new to this. I'm new to this podcasting thing. I don't even know how to press record sometimes. Okay.
So I'm going upstairs actually now because my mother is Skyping her brother. So we're gonna do.
Wait, is it your mother's side of the family that has the Scottish roots?
Oh yeah, she's full blown Scottish. 100%. So I'm half Scottish, half American.
That's sick. When was the last time you were back there skating in the homeland?
That was with the injury occurred.
That was the last time?
Yeah, it's gnarly.
Dude, can we just, you know what? We were going to do a little warm up. Can we just get into this injury, because you've told me about it for sure, but I'm like blanking on the whole ordeal. Take us back to Scotland, dude.
So went over there to give my mom some support. Her mother was not doing so well. So yeah, I was 14 when I left, and we were supposed to only be there for a couple weeks. But we ended up being there for like 3 months. So on my 15th birthday, my cousin Richard, he came in and surprised me with a birthday cake. And I was in Edinburgh, Scotland at the time. That's where my mom was born and raised. But there was a really nice indoor skate park in Dundee, Scotland, which is like, I think, maybe hour and a half, 2 hours from Edinburgh. So he picked me up and he was like, yeah, I want to take you to this really nice skate park. And we get there and I start rolling around and it was super rad to set up. It was like one of the sickest indoor parks I've seen. And I just, yeah, I ollied the pyramid and like, I think I was only in there for about 10 minutes.
So are you kind of like hooked up at this time? Like, are you getting the flow from anyone or are you just kind of skate rat, like going for it?
I was getting some boards from the local shop, Talent Skate Park. And then I think at the time I was getting some Rep Flow Osiris shoes.
Yes. Sick.
I think that was it though. Yeah, that was definitely it at the time. But yeah, I was only in there for about 5 minutes, I think 10 maybe the most. And I remember ollieing the pyramid, pumping around this one section, and going in to kicklip it. The pyramid was, it was small. I remember it was very small. And like the one I had used to skating at Talent Skate Park was like, it was a pretty decent size one. But for some reason, like I go to kickflip and my front foot lands like very high up on the nose of the board. And when my weight, when I went to land like on my board, my front foot shifted off the nose, but I put basically all my body weight onto the left front leg and it snapped my leg.
Ugh.
And the break, which I later found was called a spiral fracture. So both my fibula and my tibia broke in half.
Holy shit.
And it's like a very severe break. So that was the first thing. So I'm sweating. My cousin Richard is about to faint. He's like, oh, God. You know, the ambulance came. And I remember just like being in, like, they put me in like the, like some little soft brace, you know, just to be in the back of the ambulance, you know, cut your pants off and everything. And I get to the hospital and they had put a cast on it. And I was about to get discharged. But I remember saying, and thank God that I did. Mom says, thank God that I did too. Because what I had developed, because I said to the nurses, I said, this doesn't feel right at all. It feels like my leg's going to explode. Like I'm in a lot of pain right now. This doesn't feel good. And so that's like the number one sign for compartment syndrome.
And so all you knew was that it just felt like a broken leg is already an insane feeling to feel. Like, what made you think it was different?
Yeah, the pressure that was coming from the cast being on it, like, I was like, this doesn't feel right. So I said that to the nurse, and she hits this button. It was like this crazy alarm thing, and these doctors rush in, and they're like, oh my God, we think you've developed a compartment syndrome. Take these two, like, mini saw things, pop the cast off, and they're like, yep, you have compartment syndrome.
That's so gnarly. How painful was it?
It was so painful.
Yeah.
I remember I hadn't said anything and Richard and I had gotten into the car with the cast on driving back to Edinburgh because it was a 2-hour drive from Dundee back to Edinburgh. The doctors and my mom was a nurse for 23 years. She said I would have lost my leg.
Yeah. Walker, do you know what compartment syndrome is?
No idea. It sounds vaguely familiar, but I could not tell you.
I mean, it's basically a condition where just an obscene amount of pressure like builds up between different tissues, muscle tissues, different other types of tissues, and it like fucks with your blood supply.
Whoa.
And it's something where if you don't get it taken care of, like it's considered like a medical emergency. So if you don't get it taken care of like right away, it can cause like permanent muscle damage. I think sometimes they have to amputate the leg.
Jesus.
It's a gnarly thing, dude. I can't believe you had that, Dave.
And how is it? I mean, it must be pretty uncommon because I've barely ever heard of it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
they say this is worst case scenario what happened, and it got worse too. Mm-hmm. This the worst of the worst. To release the pressure, as Kyle was just explaining, they had to cut both sides of my left leg open to relieve pressure from the legs. That entailed me having to get a skin graft because the pressure had to keep being released. So what they did instead of a cast was they put, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's a metal device called an external fixator.
Whoa.
Then had to do the skin graft on my left leg, taking a huge chunk of skin from my right leg and stapled it in, and it's, you know, huge. It's basically the entire, a big part of my left, like, leg, lower left leg. and it's a complete skin graft.
Yeah, see, I can picture your mangled calf, your mangled leg. Like, I've definitely seen the scars, but I don't think I realized it was this insane, dude.
It was super bad. And then not to mention, at the end of it, I had lost so much blood during the surgery that I had to get a blood transfusion.
Whoa.
That's insane.
It was, my mom says, she's like, this is the worst. This is the worst of the worst of the worst. You couldn't, the only thing worse would have been losing the leg.
Wow. Dude.
Jeez.
So what was the comeback from that like? How hard was it to get your strength and all that stuff back?
Oh my God, that was such a challenge. I remember. So what the doctors had initially told me in Scotland, they were like, you know, we don't think you're going to be able to skateboard again. This leg, like, it's just been through so much trauma. And as a 15-year-old kid, just wanting to, skateboarding is my entire world at that time in my life. It like completely broke my heart. So when we flew back from Scotland to America, I had seen my doctor that I had, my primary provider at the time, and he said with an extensive physical therapy, I could possibly come back within a year or two. Uh-huh. Realistically, 2 years.
Yeah. And I bet as a 15-year-old, that's like 2 years is like forever. Right.
Right. I was just so, because they said the doctors in Scotland basically said that I wasn't ever going to be able to skate again. But when I got over here in the States, he said with an extensive physical therapy, I could possibly do it. But the light at the end of the tunnel, I just was like, oh, there's some hope. Like, and I held on to your life and just kept a positive attitude. And I did the physical therapy and I think I went way above and beyond with it because I was skateboarding within like not even a year, almost like a month shy of a year. So about 11 months.
It's pretty good.
After.
It's pretty good.
But babying into it, you know, I'm saying not like full blown, but I was definitely rolling on a skateboard like on the 11th month.
Damn. So when you broke your tibia and fibula, was the break closer to the knee or the ankle?
It was closer to the ankle. Oh, and then I forgot to get 3 pins in that area too.
This is so insane. I mean, it's so good you said something at the time because, like, I imagine being a kid and having your leg broken, you might think that pressure is like just, you know, you get through it during the first night or something like that. Like, it'll be something that, like, wears off and everyone has different pain tolerances, but holy shit, it could have just...
Yeah, I think when you have compartment, like something as gnarly as compartment syndrome, like, you know, did you kind of know right away that something was beyond what it should?
It would feel it like was it definitely should be most severe pains I've ever experienced in my entire life. And I still, like, if I think about it, I just remember how bad it hurt. And I just thought to myself, I was like, there's no way in hell that's normal.
Yeah.
Like, there's felt completely wrong. Like, I was like, this isn't good. Like, my body was just talking to me. And yeah, luckily I did say that, because if I didn't, my mom and the doctors were convinced that I would have lost my leg.
Damn.
Holy shit. So Kyle, is this something that only happens with breaks, or can this happen from like a really gnarly or severe sprain or ligament tear too? Like, is this like, do you know when this commonly happens?
Yeah, I think it's more likely to happen when you're coming back from a serious injury like what Dave had. First off, it's pretty rare, but it's more likely to happen after the type of injury that Dave had, because compartment syndrome usually happens in that region.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
like in between the knee and the ankle?
Correct. You're much less likely to have it after something, you know, like a minor ankle sprain. It's usually when there's like a bone type of injury. That's when you're more likely to have it. But even then, it's pretty rare. So, dude, that's crazy. You're a survivor, Dave.
Yeah, that was gnarly. That was like the first injury I had, the first serious one.
What was the hardest thing to get back skate-wise after that injury? Do you remember, or was it so long ago that?
So long ago, but I remember just being so nervous on the board and like, you know, continuing to do my physical therapy, but really, really easing into it. Like, you know, I would go to the skate park and like, you know, just, you know, not even like drop in, but like push slow, go up the bank, and then just pump fakie. Mm-hmm. Like I did, that's all I was doing for a little bit, you know, and then dropping it. I remember dropping in, I was just like, oh God, I'm going to put this much pressure on the leg. Like mm-hmm. I just kept thinking everything to the left leg, that front, you know, that pressure on it. But I remember there was a big pyramid at Talent Skate Park, and like I always loved doing tricks over it, but I mean, I was so scared I couldn't even ollie for the longest time.
Damn. Yeah, that must have been a mind fuck, like kind of getting back on the board after that.
Dude, we need a redemption. We need a redemption Scotland trip, man. I want to skate. I've never been to Scotland. I want to skate there, dude.
When I was out there, I filmed a video part that I've never seen in this video called Who, What, Where, Why with these two kids, this kid Andy who filmed and this kid Neil. It was Bristol Square. And yeah, I remember he had hit me up a while ago. I haven't been able to get a hold of him. I've tried to find him online, but I can't. But I remember him saying that I had like a 2-minute part and I've never even seen it. So it's,
dude, we got to get it in there. Kyle, do you think you could handle the crust? I picture it being really crusty.
Oh, it's dude, really. I don't know. I'll film you guys. I picture it as like Vermont crust, like times two.
Probably. And it just rains. It's just so much rain.
Yeah, that'd be the battle.
So how soon after the compartment syndrome injury was your ACL injury? Because you had a gnarly knee injury too, right?
On the same leg, yeah. So I had a complete tear of my ACL and my MCL on the same leg. This was years later. I was filming a part for Scumco and Sons, and I had done a nose slide on this ledge in San Francisco on the side of this guy's house. I was trying to ollie basically off his cement porch thing over the sidewalk into the street. And when I ollied out, my foot came off the nose of the board and again landing on this left leg, but it just bent backwards and just ripped. Yeah. And I started screaming at the top of my lungs. I was filming with my friend Jeremiah, who ironically was filming because he had torn his ACL and MCL a year before. And when he goes, Dave, dude, this didn't look good.
He kind of knew, huh?
He has it on camera. I've never seen it, but he says it's horrible looking.
God. So are you one of those people that, like, if it's a serious injury, you don't want to watch the footage, or you're a little curious?
I would never, entire life, ever. Never. Fuck that.
Where do you stand on this, Kyle? Because by now we've watched your ankle sprain. That was pretty devastating. We've probably watched it, like, 300 times.
That thing is that is so, I've watched that once and I know to turn my head every time it comes on now.
I feel like people fast forward my part just because of that. So I mean, I don't mind. I personally don't mind. I don't love it, but well, let's put it this way. I can deal with seeing like one ankle sprain or one gnarly knee whatever thing on footage. But I couldn't, like, I can't watch, like, a slam section, you know?
Yeah.
I can't do, like, a whole section.
Like the old Transworld videos?
Yeah. Like, the Transworld stuff is hard for me to watch. I remember the Welcome to Hell slam section was really bad. I can't do those.
Yeah. No, when it comes to, like, knee ones, where the knee moves in a certain way, I don't want to see that shit. That's, like, I can't deal with that one. Those are the scariest.
Ooh, so you have certain ones that you can't watch. You can watch some, but you can't watch others.
Yeah, I mean, dude, ankles, everything's freaky. I don't have like a fetish for watching slams or anything, but there's certain ones that I just cannot fucking handle.
Dude. Yeah.
Ugh.
So Dave, which one between the knee injury and the compartment syndrome / ankle break, which one was harder to come back from between the two? Because both are challenging.
Oh, they're both very challenging. I honestly feel the ACL, MCL, it was a longer process to come back from. Mm-hmm. Because even though the compartment syndrome with the spiral fracture, blood transfusion and the three pins, like that was just it was a break, not a tear ligament, you know, or muscle. So I think any human, I think you would probably heal quicker from a break than you would with any kind of tear. I don't know if that's correct or not, but
yeah, it depends on
It depends on which ligament it is and how bad the tear is. But in some cases, yeah, you're right. Spot on.
ACL, MCL, because it was a complete tear of both of them. Yeah, I was out for a long time. That was like a year and then some. And I had the best physical therapist too.
Who'd you go to?
This guy, Dennis. I forgot his last name. I wish I could think of it now, but.
In SF or where'd you do it?
I was on I was on Medi-Cal at the time. And so I would go down into the basement. That's where their physical therapy place is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he was just really good. And he just saw the motivation. And he's like, you know, we're going to recommend that you don't skateboard anymore.
He goes, anymore?
Yeah.
Well, so gnarly when people will say those kind of things, like a final end.
He was just like, I can tell by the way that you're looking at me, like you're definitely trying to again. I'm like, yeah. Dude. So again, with the physical therapy that I did, you just get on a regimen and you stick to it. But like, if he gave me like six, you know, things to do three times a day, you know, I'd like triple it, you know, try not to over.
Damn.
But really tried to push myself to get my strength back both times. And like, he could tell every time that I would go in, cause I would go in once a week, then every 2 weeks, you know, then every 3 weeks. And, but he was like, you're doing this. And then some, like, he's like, cause you're getting strong quick. Like,
so you were good. You were good with your home program.
Oh, 100%.
That's key, dude. That's key.
I would put like Law and Order on SVU. Do it for this amount of time and like had a cup of coffee and I'd be soaking in sweat at the end of it. I would do one, you know, during lunchtime, basically like breakfast, lunch and dinner regimen.
Damn.
Yeah. The TV, I say the TV show is the best, the best way to go about it.
I tried to do it without it at first and I was like, this sucks. And I remember, like, I had to do physical therapy that they gave me before I had met Dennis. It was just, like, leg motions in my bed to get the strength to even, like, get out of bed. Like, the process is just so, it takes so long with an ACL, MCL, like, you know.
Yeah, it's grueling. And you have to, what's tough, especially for some skaters, is you have to fucking work out, you know.
Yeah.
Which not a lot of us are used to doing.
Nope.
No, I just, hey, I'm not trying to work out. I ended up actually getting a, it's funny you say that. I got a membership for this period of time at 24 Hour Fitness.
I love it.
And I would go there and I would get on the stationary bike and do like these things. Like, and the Dennis had recommended that. And like, I was just like, oh, this is not happening. I'm in 24 Hour Fitness at 7. Like, it really helped a lot. So
yeah, I bet in your wildest dreams you would never expect to have a 24 Hour Fitness membership.
No,
I can only imagine like the other people, especially in San Francisco, going to whichever one you were at.
Yeah, like, it was wild in there. So
what was like a key exercise or like what do you think was like the most helpful thing as far as getting back to skating at a high level after your ACL injury?
I think, and I enjoyed this one because it wasn't at 24 Hour Fitness. It was outside, but he had given me a stretch to do where he's like, if you go to the ocean, you can stand on your like left knee with your right leg up and go out enough to where like the waves are coming in. But if you reach down, your face isn't going to go all the way in the water, but you stand on your left leg and you take your right index finger and middle finger and you touch the ground to your left side.
Oh, so it's like a balance exercise kind of?
Right. Doing that stretch in the water with the waves hitting you, just trying to keep your balance. Like, I don't know. I remember that one. Like, I think just that one helped a lot, but I think just being in that water too.
Oh, got it.
So good. That's a good.
So how long did it take? How long did it take before you're skating fully?
And did you ever go back for the nose slide?
No, definitely not. I cringe every time I go by. I don't even like to go in that neighborhood. I'm not kidding. No, definitely didn't go back to it. I mean, we shouldn't have been doing it in the first place because it was definitely on the side of the house. Yeah. But coming back from it, I think it was like a little under 2 years.
Holy shit.
And so what I would do is, once I started working again at the dog place, my shift, you know, I go in at 7 and I get out at 7 in the morning, but I would take my cruiser board and I would go to Soma, but I would jump the fence at like 7:15 and I would just cruise around that thing for like an hour.
Just pumping.
Damn. It's a good exercise, actually.
Every time I got out of work, and I worked three shifts, so like three times a week, that with the physical therapy, you know, and just pumping around, and so hard to not try
ollie and do things. I know, especially if you're like, you know what, shit feels kind of good today, yeah. Dude. Shit feels kind of good.
For him being like, I'm gonna allow this, but you cannot flip or do any of that kind of shit, dude. Like,
that is the hardest.
So
the hardest thing.
And wait, so how old were you? How? So that was a more recent injury.
Yeah, that was about. How old
if you're
was
on
I?
Scumco, must have been like less than five years ago, right?
Yeah, so maybe like 27, 28.
Damn.
Yeah. I think.
How many years now have you been living in SF?
Wait, let's, yeah, 13 for 14.
Wow.
Damn.
Over a decade. Definitely over a decade. You know, I think for the first, I've just been like kind of planted there. Bounced around a little bit, tried New York for a second, but wasn't feeling it. And then, did San Diego. That was cool. But would mostly try to go down to San Diego when it was raining during the wintertime in SF because, you know, that's when it rained. Obviously, it doesn't that much anymore. So.
Did you ever live in SD or did you just go back and forth? Because I remember seeing you in San Diego a lot at one point.
Yeah, I lived at the Shuffle House and then I stayed with Walker in his dorm for a little bit one time.
Yep. No, you were pretty planted there. I feel like your heart was still in San Francisco, but you were like definitely in SD. Like you'd be posted for a while.
Yeah, like a 3-year period. Just back and forth. I would get, you know, ride. Walker would drive up and drive down, and I'd sometimes just be like, I'm just gonna get in the car. Like,
yeah.
Did you ever sit in on any classes with Walker at UCSD?
No, I remember though. I was coming up the elevator, and there was a cute girl in there, and Walker lived on the top floor of this place, and.
10th floor dorm building, like the best view I'll ever have in my life. It was insane, dude.
Oh yeah, ocean right there. I forgot
looking
about
out
that.
At the ocean. But go on.
And so I'm in the elevator. It's just me and this cute girl. And I said, well, I think I was like, oh man, classes were tough today, you know. And he goes, listen. She goes, it's fucking Sunday, you idiot. I was like, oh. You know, like
so busted. Oh, that's so good.
That's amazing.
I clearly knew I wasn't going to school there, so.
Yes. Well, now that you're back in Vermont, what are your feelings about the future? Where you want to live? Where you want to be? Like, do you feel like you're drawn? You want to replant some roots in the East Coast, or what are you thinking?
I actually am. I have no idea. I'm so confused at the moment. I mean, I love it and I still want to film maybe one more video part there. I started recently filming with my roommate Cheyenne, and maybe just like a short and sweet part. But I had wrapped up a part that I've been working on for a while that I'm excited for it to come out. And so, yeah, just maybe one more short one after that one. And it's really nice being home with my family, but I'm just Vermont. I love it, but it's hard. Like not being in a city, like, you know, the skate scene is, it's different out here. I like specifically filming with a VX1000 basically all the time.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to find someone with that camera. So that's been kind of tough. So I've just been phone clips while I've been out here, but that's been fun. So, and I've been doing those with my buddy Travis Card, and he's the man. I've been filming with him since I was 13 years old. So, but going to feel it out a little bit more. I'm going to go back to SF January 6th, try to finish this one more part and then kind of see how I feel after that. And go from there, not trying to put too much pressure on myself. So,
cool. So I know it's not a skate related injury, but sometimes I try to tell the story that happened when you were living in Russian Hill. It's like the most amazing story, but I feel like I always butcher it. For prosperity's sake, can you tell Kyle? Because Kyle hasn't even heard it before.
Oh, I've never told you this one?
Never heard it.
So I'm living on Polk Street with these guys, my friend Connor, my friend Chip, and my friend Brian, above Green Sports Bar. And so one night, and this was, you know, two stories up, like, so we lived right above the bar. And one night I was with Chip and Connor, and these guys are like throwing rocks up at the window, some these like jocks downstairs or whatever, and they're trying to hackle us or something. And Chip was starting to get pissed, and you know, he's like, I'm gonna go down there. Like, and I was like, there's two of them, huh? And at this point in time, I was very much intoxicated. Heavily intoxicated, as was Chip. And he says, all right, there's a bigger guy and a little guy. I was like, I think I could handle that little dude. So Chip goes down the stairs. But what I thought I could do, watch way too many movies, obviously, is jump from the second story window and try to land on the smaller dude. Like,
oh my gosh. Holy shit.
So I leap out the window and I land directly on both feet. And the whole confrontation is just gone because they're like, did you just jump out the fucking window, dude? And Chip goes, what the fuck? How are you down here? Like, he hadn't even gotten to the bottom of the stairs. And I like stood up and he's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I think I'm all right.
And what happened to the guys? Like the two guys that were talking shit?
Didn't happen. Chip was like, we're going to go upstairs. The guys just went in the bar. They're like, this kid's psycho. Like, what is going on here? So I started walking up the stairs, and then I don't know, maybe the adrenaline like had worn off that fast, or I just like, oh God, something feels very wrong in my right foot. And so I didn't say anything, and I went into the bathroom and I pulled off my shoe, and like the thickest pile, whatever, of blood just dripped out. I take off my sock, and my right heel had exploded.
Oh my gosh.
All the pressure of the impact had exploded my heel open.
Holy shit. The bottom of it, the bottom of the heel.
Yeah. It was horrible looking, and I started panicking. I started screaming.
Wait, just to pick visualize, cuz I've always visualized it being like the edge of the heel. Was it underneath the, was it like the bottom of the heel, or was it the edge?
Where the bottom ends.
Oh my God.
Like where the bottom ends and the bottom starts. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Dude.
And so what kind of gash are we talking about?
It was huge. It was so big. It was wide open. I could see into my foot.
Wow.
So I started screaming at this point. I said, Chip and Connor. I was like, my foot. They come in and they're like, oh my God, what the fuck, you idiot. Like, so I didn't have health insurance at the time. And again, very much intoxicated, as were the two gentlemen I was with. So
Chip and Connor.
Yeah, they're hilarious. Love them both. And
I would describe them as, I've met them before, and I would describe them as like lumberjacks you might meet in the woods of Vermont, basically. Like,
they're hilarious. They're the craziest thing. So I don't have health insurance. And he goes, dude, we got to do something about this. Like, you don't have health care, right? And I'm like, no. He's like, dude, that's going to cost so much loot. So their smart idea, I'll give them credit for this, decided to go put the butcher's cleaver on the stove and turn the stove on high. And he hands me the bottle of Jack Daniels and says, just start drinking a lot of this right now. So I start hammering down the Jack Daniels, give it about 5 minutes. Chip comes in with the wooden spoon, and Connor gets the butcher's cleaver off the stove, and just Chip's holding me down, and he just ready. And what these guys did for a moment is they cauterized the wound with the butcher's cleaver. And it worked for about 5 minutes, and then popped open again. And
oh my God,
I have flesh with this complete heel busted open. And they're like, fuck, dude, you got to go to the hospital. So
dude, my entire body is hurting just listening to this story.
It was ridiculous. So getting in, I had to get a cab. We couldn't get into a cab. It took me like five because I'm just like bleeding everywhere. Chip's trying to get me in the cab. And I finally get in the cab with one of my exes at the time. And, you know, I had someone to go with me. So we get to the hospital and I'm in the emergency room and the nurse is like, holy shit. Like, you know, okay, we're going to get you in real quick. And I'm sitting in, I get into the other room where the dog, waiting for the doctor. He comes in and he's looking at it and he's just like, oh, obviously this is from some kind of impact. You know, I don't need to know what that is. But what I'm very curious about is the charred skin around the wound. And I was like, and my ex at the time says, the dudes we were just with tried to cauterize it with a butcher's cleaver. And he goes, well, okay. He's like, I'm going to try to numb this, but because you tried to cauterize it, like, the numbing probably isn't going to work as well. So you're probably going to be doing every time I go in with the needle to put the thing up back.
No, I don't even remember that part about it, dude. That is heavy.
So I get it sewn up and I get discharged from the hospital. But the two dudes, Chip and Connor, they were so great about everything after this. They were just like, all right, whatever you need, we got it. Like, I mean, I'm the one who jumped out the window, but I definitely didn't come up with the butcher's cleaver idea. So,
oh my god, and the wooden spoon in the mouth, dude. I'm just picturing it like a scene from just one of those movies where you're just like, I don't want to. That can't happen in real life, dude. That can't happen.
It really did happen. I was like, oh my god, I'm such an idiot. Luckily, it was a rainy season and it was the winter, so I guess maybe happened at the best time in SF at that. On that specific year. But every time I go down Polk Street and I see a sports bar, I look up at that fucking window and it's high. It just looks high up. It's high. It's two stories.
Dude. It'd be like a 30 stair or something. Wow. Like that, dude. It's not like a height, like, oh yeah, you could like ollie off that, like a Jaws thing. Like, it's tall, dude. It's not.
It's very tall. And yeah, the thing is, I didn't even hang down. Like I said, I leapt like a little cat out of the window. So that was another thing. It wasn't like a hang drop, you know.
What's amazing though too is that you were like, your legs were strong enough to not get hurt in any other way. Like, had you had like some miracle shoes on, maybe you would have been fine.
Yeah, right. But
do you remember what shoes you were wearing?
I was definitely wearing a pair of Osiris at that time.
Oh, dude, it's all Osiris's fault. There's no question then.
Dude, that I've heard a lot of injury stories. That might be the best one. That is insane.
Butcher's cleaver was intense. I just remember the smell too. I can never forget the smell of the charred, burnt skin. Like,
dude, I'm just picturing, and I also just picture the emergency room doctors like confusion at like, all right, the heel explosion makes sense, but why do you have charred skin around this?
And they probably held it for a while. Like, they're thinking, like, we got to get this to cauterize. Like, they're holding that thing
down for a minute. Like,
oh my gosh.
I was biting down on the wooden spoon. We had a huge wooden spoon, and I was just, you know, sweating. Like, oh my god, it was insane. So,
chaos. But, I love the heckler guys, too, just being like, yo, this dude jumped out of a window. Like, we're cool. Like, yeah. All right, you win.
Let's go get a drink. Let's go to the bar.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went down. Man. So, you know, obviously the Green Sports Bar heard of it. So after that, I was on crutches for a while and I'd have to crutch. You know, I would crutch over to the wall across the street and I would crutch back. And like, I never went in that bar, but I just would see people just straight laughing at me. Look, at there's a kid that lives upstairs that jumped out the window.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no. I never thought about that. The shame you have to live with.
Yeah, I can't remember how long. I came back like fairly quick, but still.
Dave, there are two hill bomb bales that stick out in my mind. There was one where
only two of Dave's.
Well,
only
two standouts. There was one where you
slid for like a half a mile and ended up underneath the car.
Oh yeah, that was one of my first like hill bomb experiences.
Was that?
That, well, I had been going down them, but that one was like, you know, because I took the sidewalk on that one. And yeah, I just remember I wanted to just try to make it all the way down. And yeah, I don't understand. That was just
that was for the shuffle video, right?
No, that was just, what was that in? I think it was in a Thrash sponsor me thing. I had one, and a couple other people that I know had one. I'm pretty sure it was in that though.
And then the other one, of course, was the your last trick in the old Friends video. Which were those the two gnarliest hill bomb fails you've had, or have you had, is there a worse one?
Those are pretty gnarly. Those were both really fucking scary.
Yeah, because for the one that where you were sliding into the car, you like ollied the gap. It's over in Potrero Hill, and then just straight shoot down. It's funny because it's the same one that Nate Porter like almost died and ran.
I don't.
Yeah,
that is beyond. Like, I don't get how you could possibly run out, and he ran out like near the bottom.
Yeah. So basically, like, you slid on your ass from like across the whole entire street, pretty much in underneath a car.
I don't remember. It was like complete blackout. I remember being under the car and like my whole ass was just like burnt, like basically. But I got out of that one pretty well. I think the one, probably the scary one, is the one in Novia. I just remember just getting down to that last stretch and being like, fuck, I'm going too fast. This is going to suck, basically. Like,
and so you knew. So what I'm always curious about for the heavy hill bomb slams is like the moment you know and how you navigate in the moment, because there's a little bit of like, I don't know. I mean, you have instincts that kick in that aren't yours, and you can kind of like let it play in slow motion a little bit. Like, do you remember that slam, like as it went like millisecond by millisecond?
I did the wall ride, then the kickflip into the hill a couple times before, and I had tried to get down. I was just trying to make it down and then get to that point to power slide and then kind of like go like off to the left foot, like really not going anywhere. But that specific one, I just was holding on, and I should have just power slid out and slid on my ass, which I had done a couple times before, but I was really just trying to hold on to it. And just the speed wobble just fucking launched me into the abyss. If it would have been a couple feet more though, that could have been so much worse. Cause that fucking car, I hit the car for sure.
Dude.
Cause I did like a backflip kind of. I hit my head a little bit. My whole left hand was just completely open. My arm was all fucked up, like my side, like I was bleeding all over the place. And Kevin Ron was one of the spotters at the last intersection. And I just remember the look on his face, like, oh my God, he's like hospital, like. And I got up and I was just like, holy shit. But I was super, super scary, like just trying to go for it.
I know. I'm so glad you're okay. I mean, dude, you had some ringers, and I'm sure there's a lot of hill bombs that you've taken, no filmer, the homies, maybe even solo, that are just defied the odds.
Yep. Without a camera when I was younger, and definitely just, you know, feel like when you're first in SF, if you're comfortable with going down them, you're just, it's like a giant playground for you. I mean, it always is, but like when you're really fresh to the city, and if you are comfortable going down them, like you're going to have fun on them. Like, but you're going to get worked too. Like, I mean, they're gnarly. Those are like the gnarliest hills in the world, I feel like. Super fun, but definitely dangerous. And yeah, you're going to get tossed eventually. Like, I feel like it's inevitable.
Had anyone else bombed that hill, your Novia hill bomb?
I had went there to go try a trick. There used to be, it was like a stair, like a Philly stair almost at the top of that hill. And I had kickflip over the whole stair, you know, on that cement, like wave, basically went up it. You know, backside kicklipped over it, landed regular, power slid, made it out. But I was like going there, so I was like, oh shit, there's this thing that they had made it so you couldn't skate over the stairs anymore. And I was like, fuck, I really just want to try to straight shoot this. And then I wasn't really going anywhere though at the bottom. I was thinking power slide into the end of the street and then kind of run it out, which is completely insane too, now that I think about it. But yeah, just was like, oh, I'll can try to wall ride on this like unique fence and then kick flip into the hill and just take it. And yeah, it didn't work.
When you watch skate videos in SF, do you expect a straight hill bomb after a trick that's on a hill, or do you not really care? Because I feel like something's changed over the last like 5-6 years where I think it used to be cool to get a photo or get a trick on a hill spot, but you weren't expected to bomb it the whole way. Like, what are your feelings about that now?
Depending on the person. So if I know, like, if it's one of my good homies that I know that I've, you know, been skating in SF with, and it's on a, you know, specific hill with a specific trick, like if it's, you know, someone that I know, I'll be like, yeah, I'll be like, hopefully they take the hill. Like, I'd like seeing that. But like other people, like, I think that maybe haven't skated SF that much. Like, I don't know, still get yours. Fuck it. Like, you're still doing the trick, you know? I guess, like, to answer your question, just depending on the person.
So you're saying, Walker, that like the trick only counts, or the debate is that, does the trick count if you don't bomb the hill afterwards? Is that kind of the...
That's what I'm wondering, because everyone has a different outlook, and I've always been a pussy when it comes to hills. There's a lot of cool... No, I mean, sure, I'm not like the guy that wants to like bomb the gnarly hill after a hard trick on
right.
a hill spot. Like, I've skated a lot of hill spots, and if it's a mellow hill, I'll take it. But there's like the one that really stood out to me, you know, that spot that
those grind pop out.
Exactly. I did one, and so did Josh Matthews.
Oh yeah.
You know that spot? It's like a cinder block ledge.
For sure.
Never even occurred to me that I should like bomb the hill after I landed it, because like the nose grind was hard enough, and I just wanted to like get the nose grind.
Right.
But then when the GX1000 video came out, and Daylaw did switch front nose and then took the hill
switch,
I was just like, what?
On the sidewalk.
Yeah. I just couldn't. I was like, this is a different thing now. I don't know. I don't even know. Like, what is this?
It's like, so like I'm saying, depending on the person, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would prefer, you know, I'd be like, yeah, hell yeah, take that fucking hill. But like, I mean, fuck it. If you're not comfortable doing it, then fuck it. You're still going to do your trick.
But what about just like watching it, like in a video? Like, do you find that the hill bomb gets a little old after a while? Like, I like seeing it sprinkled in. But like, what are your thoughts?
I feel like on waves where it's kind of been like a hot thing for a second, and then like kind of like, you know, it's like not for a minute, and then it goes back to it. So like the specific people that I like watching skate hills, like they've just always have done it, you know. But I definitely think it was like a thing to do for a second, you know.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
definitely yeah. was. Like that's definitely something like, let's go down the gnarliest hill, like, and which is rad, like, you know, it's takes huge balls, and fucking it's scary as fuck to do that shit. So
you're done filming for your video part that's coming out soon, or you got a couple more tricks to get?
No, actually it's all wrapped up. I'm stoked. So
I cannot wait to see this one, dude.
I'm waiting on the music rights to go through, which I think they had gotten approved a couple days ago, and now just waiting for you know, waiting for when I'll get the slot, you know. I have a interview that's going to go with it on the online interview. So I'm really stoked on it.
Can't wait. You've been working on this part for at least a year, right?
Not a year, a little under a year, because mm-hmm. it's been done for a little bit. Yeah, I'm really, really excited for people to see it. I hope they like it. Filmed it with my good friend, Brendan Bill. Definitely one of my favorite filmers ever in life, and just great friend anyways. So
he's the best,
and he filmed the entire thing. I've never ever once done this.
It's the coolest feeling. I've had two where it was every single clip. Actually, some of the videos with Jim Lalonde back in the day too,
right,
were like that, but those were a little bit more natural, like they just happened.
Yeah.
In recent years I've had two, one with Ewan and one for Sovereign with Riz Homer Ryan,
right?
And it's cool feeling, dude. It's like, damn, this is like our project.
Yeah, it's great. I think just the amount of like, I've never filmed a video part like this with someone and had that much chemistry going on. Like, it worked. It just worked. Like, I feel like he's like Yoda with the VX1000 Luke Skywalker. Like, sum it up some way. That's it. Brendan is Yoda. And, you know, I'm skating. I'm trying to be Luke Skywalker with the lightsaber, you know?
Yes, dude.
It's been my favorite video part to film for sure. Like, by far.
Well, hell yeah. Dude, thanks for making time to hash out some injury tales. Yeah. Dude, I fucking love it.
You guys have me on this. This is the first one, and it was very, very fun.
Dude, that heel bruise, quote-unquote heel bruise story is top five for sure.
I'm glad, even though it's not a skating fall, but still.
It's legendary. All right, Kyle, so what are we in for in the coming months? Can you give us a little preview of what we have in store for our patrons?
Walker, let me ask you this first. Do you have phantom heel bruise pain right now after hearing that story?
Oh my God, dude. It's really like hard to, as you see, I just wanted to like move right into something else because it's some heavy shit.
You were right. He did not disappoint.
No.
But yeah, what'd you ask? What do we have next?
Yeah, what do we have next? What can our subscribing patrons be looking forward to?
So next month, we're going to kind of take a break from talking about specific injuries, and we're going to do something a little different. We're going to talk about ice and the history behind using ice for different injuries and the science behind, number one, how effective ice is, and number two, what it actually does. And then, you know, there'll be some debate as to what it does and what it doesn't do, and we'll get into all that stuff. And then at the end, I'll kind of either endorse it or not. So that we're talking about ice next.
You're keeping us on the edge of our seats here, Kyle.
Yeah.
God damn.
I felt like we've touched on it a couple times, and
yeah.
Basically, the times that we touched on it, I kind of lightly say that it's not that effective for certain injuries. And I remember you being kind of surprised at some of the comments I had about ice. So I thought it'd be good for us to just really dive in and talk about it. So that's what we got going next month.
It's good. I love it. And yeah, then we're gonna keep things moving after that. So thank you again to all who have supported us. It's really been... it's been an awesome ride. I mean, going on 7 months, dude.
I can't
seven
believe it.
In this.
Can't believe it. Yeah, and we got a bunch of good stuff ahead, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks again to Bobby Renz for the music, and yeah, subscribe on Patreon, or you can find everything at oldfriendsandco.com.
I love it. All right, Walker, signing off.
All right, have a good one, Kyle.
All right, see ya.